I'd like to do something a little different as we start. I want to go around and have you say one thing you're thankful for. Okay? We won't do this too often, but Dallas's scripture reading this morning, give thanks to the Lord or enter his gates with thanksgiving. I think it's wise. I did this with my class at school this week, and it was interesting what they said. So I'm just curious. I'm going to give you 3 seconds to think about something that you are thankful for. Okay? That was 5 seconds, so you should be ready. So hope. Family. Okay? Let's start over here. Some. Food.
I'm thankful for happy children.
Yep, it's a good thing. A house, that's good. That's a good one. Glenn? Everybody can think of one thing they're thankful for, surely.
Last week, one of the little kids said, "Who owns this church?"
Ah.
And I tried to go through that, but it made me think, "Who owns me?" God owns me.
Yep.
I want God to own me, and I'm
grateful
for that.
Good.
The weather.
Oh, man, yeah. There's actually a sun. That's great. Okay. Others? Steve?
A fish.
Fish. Somehow I knew that'd be the answer that comes out. Anyone else? Trinity, what are you thankful for? She's thankful for a pew to hide behind. Okay?
Family.
Yep. That's a good one. Over here. Oh, Hattie's really thankful. Yep, good. Oh, I'll just pick on a few. Connor. Okay. Andy. Andy. Oh, that's true. Your family's covered. Okay. Yeah. Leah? Okay. Miranda? Clara. Is there any one thing? That's a good one. Let's see. Jensen? Anything? Oh, what now? Yeah, that's a good one. The house he lives in. Really? Wait. Okay, thank you. Vicky? Oh, I didn't get Turner. What are you thankful for? Your garden? Oh, man, yeah. Do you like vegetables? I'm thankful you like vegetables. So are your parents. Vicky? Yeah, that's a big one. Howard? That all of her grandkids have accepted Christ. Oh, sorry! Yeah, amen to that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah. Larry?
Other people.
Teresa?
Family and friends.
Yeah. I mean, we can name, how long would it take us to name 200 things we're thankful for?
Not that long.
Not that long. Okay. I mean, if we really thought about it and we just started making a list, I'll bet we could fill a page really quick. Okay? You know, all these spiritual blessings that God gives us, obviously. But I think about other ones. Taste buds.
When the jug of milk
says
your birthday on it.
Yeah. You know, I marvel. God didn't have to give us taste buds, but he did. And I'm really grateful for that. And I'm grateful for dark chocolate and steak and those things. God didn't have to give us colors. He could have made the world black and white. Okay? We were looking at our lawn the other day, and I think we've got probably three different seeds in our lawn. It's just all different kind of patches of green. It's like, oh, that's cool. Smells. She asked a question last night. What is your favorite, we were asking questions. What is your favorite smell? Okay? What's yours?
Warm cookies coming out of the
oven. Okay? Fresh bread, yeah, that was mine.
New babies.
Okay, yep. I like after it's dusty and we get a big heavy rain, I love the smell when it rains. Hattie, what's your favorite smell?
Three.
Three? Okay.
I like
the Okay. You know, you think of all these blessings that God gives. I mean, we could just go down the list. There are so many things to be grateful for the Lord for. So I hope that as you go throughout your day, there's a little popcorn prayer as you go, Lord, thanks for the sunrise. Lord, thanks for the cooler weather. Thanks for that really good meal. Okay. You know, all sorts of things. Just an attitude of thankfulness is the antidote for complaining. You ever think about this? It's really hard to complain when you're thankful. So if you struggle with complaining, get a piece of paper out and just start making a list. And every time you want to complain, go, I'm thankful for this, 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 and this. And that complaining will just, it'll just vanish. Okay? So thank you for that. And keep thinking. And the next time you do this, think of something a little unusual, okay? Just it's a fun thing to do. I think it encourages us just to go about our day. All right. One of the things that I hope my wife will be thankful for is I told Sunday school I was trying to be a good husband and I shampooed carpets yesterday. So, yeah, I think I earned a few chips. No, I don't know if I did or not, but my wife, I know her love language is acts of service, and I love clean floors, so they're going to go downhill from here, but right now they're clean. And so trying to encourage her in that way. All right, I want to look this morning at three chapters in the book of Leviticus, chapters 8, 9, and 10. Now, it was really funny because I found out that the pastor at Grace Community Church in Newton is also going through Leviticus. Like, I never hear of pastors going through this book, okay? But he's going through it one chapter a week, so we're only going to be in at 7. He's got 26, so. But this section is about the priests. It's an interesting one, okay? Now, one of the things that pastors go through, at least in seminary, we had to do a thing called doctrinal orals. It scared everybody. Nobody looked forward to this. We had to write a paper covering, man, just about every area of theology, and we had to submit it, and then two professors took our papers and ripped them apart and could question us for an hour and a half on any aspect of our paper. Any scripture we quoted, any scripture we referenced, they could ask us about it. Oh, man, okay? And so I had, of course, the theology professor and one lady who was a chaplain, but she was in the counseling program, okay? But I got through that, and they passed me, thankfully, okay? When I was at our first church, okay, pastors generally start out on, you know, they're feeling their way. And there comes a point in time when a pastor wants to get ordained. Okay, some of you have heard this term. It really is a time when the person is serious about their calling to be a pastor. Now, ordination has kind of fallen by the wayside in some circles. You can get ordained online by yourself if you want to. But historically, it's been an examination. Okay, and it's still that way in some groups. And the group I was in, it was that way. And so one of our elders got a group of about five pastors from the Phoenix area, five or six, and they came up and they prepared, they read my paper, they questioned me for 3 hours about every point in my paper. Okay, actually, they only got through the first six pages in the first 2 hours. Then they made the guy speed up. But it was the hardest thing I think I have ever done, okay, at least from a church perspective. But what it did is it confirmed to me that, yes, this is what I want to do, that this is what God has called me to do. And in those times when it gets really sticky and hard and messy, I go back and say, no, this is what God called me to do. And I cannot leave until God says to leave. Okay? And there's been times, to be honest, there's been times when I'm like, I'm done with this. Okay? God says, no. And I go back and I say, this is the calling God has put on my life, and I will continue. Okay? And so it's kind of this moment for pastors to go back to and to look at. What we're going to look at today is Aaron and his son's ordination and what it meant for them and for the people. Okay? So when you get to chapter 8, the tabernacle has been built. It was built at the end of Exodus. Okay? And it looks something like this. Okay? Of course, we don't have pictures of it because there were no cameras back then. But it was a large courtyard in the middle of the camp. Okay? Surrounded by beautiful tapestries of brown and purple and silver and red. Okay? So it was totally enclosed. The entrance is there at the front of the picture, and then there's a building, okay, on the back third. And that is the tabernacle building itself. That is where the holy place is, where there's a lampstand and tables and bread and incense offered to the Lord. And then in the back side of that building is the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant is, where God's presence himself is there among his people. Okay? Now, priests were free to go in the courtyard, but in the holy place, they could go once a day. They would offer things there. But in the holy of holies, a priest could only go in one time, once a year, to make sacrifice for the people. Okay? That's the tabernacle. So the tabernacle was built, but there were not yet priests to work in the tabernacle. Okay? And that's what we get to today. Okay? So in chapter 8, we see this, there's this whole ceremony of how Aaron is consecrated or set apart to be the high priest and his sons as priests. Now, as we go through this, I want you to take note of how many sacrifices are there? How many things are done? How many things are given to Aaron that set him apart from everybody else? Okay. Because I believe the point is this. If Aaron is going to make atonement for the sins of his people, of the people, he himself has to be holy before he can stand before a holy God and before he can be a mediator for the people to God. Okay? He has to be holy. So, I don't have slides for today because every once in a while I like to throw this in. It's not because I didn't have time. It's because I feel like in church we never open our Bibles because I always have the words on the screen. So I'm going to force you to actually open your Bibles. Okay? So, Leviticus chapter 8. We read here in verse 5, Moses said to the congregation, "This is the thing the Lord has commanded to be done." And then Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put on the coat on him and tied the sash around his waist and clothed them with a robe and put on the ephod and tied the skillfully woven band of the ephod around him, binding it to him with the band. Then he placed the breastplate on him, and in the breastplate he put the Urim and the Thummim. And he set the turban on his head, and on the turban in front he set the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. Okay, this is the one slide I do have. Okay. What does Moses give Aaron? A whole set of clothing. Okay. Notice there's several things here, right? First, he washes him, or Aaron gets bathed. Okay. Then he's given a coat. Now, we think of a coat as being put on over everything else. This coat was underneath. Okay? So it was the first thing that touched the body. Over the coat, or the coat was secured to the body with a sash. You see that here in this picture. Okay? So the sash would act like a belt. Over the coat, he wore a robe. And over the robe, he wore an ephod. Now, an ephod is an interesting piece of clothing. Okay, it's here around the torso and the chest, and it's tight. Okay, it has a band. So think of it like a version of an old girdle. Okay, it's tight around here, goes up to the shoulders, and that's what those stones are in. Okay, those stones are the actual breastplate, and they're filled with several precious stones, and that breastplate is put into the ephod. In that breastplate, there are two special stones. Moses calls them the Urim and the Thummim. Okay. Those are the two stones that when Moses says he cast lots, those were the two stones he threw. Okay. And through that, they had a way of interpreting what God's will is. Okay. So, he had the breastplate, he had the stones in him, then he had a turban. And on the front of the turban was a gold plate. And that gold plate said, "Holy to the Lord." Okay. Now, what's the purpose of Aaron's clothes? God outlined them very specifically of what they would look like. It's okay, partly. Is our attitude affected by how we dress? Yes. Okay. Studies have shown students do better academically when they wear uniforms. Okay. Because their dress prepares them for school. Okay. So part of it is it probably changes his attitude. But it sets him apart. Does it not? He's the only one in the entire camp of a million people who has this. Okay. When people see Aaron, they see the high priest. Okay. Those clothes are eventually sprinkled with blood. Okay. They are made holy to the Lord. Okay. So, this set of clothing is part of what God uses to set Aaron apart, and that's what it means to consecrate. Okay. To set him apart for a specific task or purpose. Okay? So God has his reasons here for giving this. Now, Aaron has four sons, and his sons are also ordained as priests, but they receive a robe and a cap and a sash. Okay? Aaron alone is high priest. But before we go too far into this, we have to understand what holiness is. Okay? This is the hardest concept I ever have to try to teach students. Because holiness is God's perfectness, his perfection, the majesty of his glory. Okay? We don't have anything on earth that is that. Okay? The closest I can come is thinking of things that are pure. Now, give you 5 seconds. What are some things that are sold or marketed as pure? Water? Gold?
Gold?
Think about this. We go to Florence, right? We see on the water tower. What's it say on the water tower? 99.96% pure spring water. Okay? 996? Okay, I forgot a 9. Is it pure? It is practically pure, but it's not pure. Okay? Gold. Pure gold? Do we have anything? Do we have pure gold? We have close. 24 karat gold is very, very close. But we don't have pure gold. You know why? It's soft. It would never maintain the shape of a ring. Pure gold is soft. And it's more translucent. Okay? Every gold, all the gold we see has impurities in it, and it's those impurities that actually increase its strength. Okay? I can't think of anything we have on earth that is 100% pure. Lots of things are practically pure, but there's still a percentage that's not, which makes understanding God's holiness so much harder because we don't have a comparable link. Okay? But God is holy. He is majestic in his being. He's blameless. He's faultless. Okay? And yet, the holiness of God is kind of a dilemma to us. We're drawn to him because he made us. He wants us to be his children. But as flawed creatures, we also cower in the all-revealing light of his glory. Okay? When people come to God or God appears to them in the Bible, what's their reaction? Fear. Right? They cower back. Nobody goes, hey, God, yo, what's up? Nobody does that to God. It's always hiding back. Oh, what does the angel always say? Do not be afraid. Okay? Our natural reaction is to cower back from God's holiness. We want to keep him at arm's length. And the truth of the matter is, I think this is probably why most people don't come. A lot of people refuse to believe in God. Okay? Because when you come to God, his holiness shines light on your sin. Okay? And we love our ways too much to change. Okay? But for those of us who have come to Christ, we know that in that holiness is purification, is forgiveness of sins, and a life dedicated to growing in our holiness. Okay? Now, since the people were at Mount Sinai and God was given the law, they were not able to approach God on their own, right? God is holy, the people are not. When God appeared in Exodus 19, the people cowered back. Okay? So the book of Exodus, we see this difference. Well, the point of Exodus is to create a way for the people to come to God. And the only way that can be done is with a mediator, is with someone who will step in the middle and speak for God and have God speak through him and offer sacrifices to the people to bring them to God. That's the only way it could happen. And so holy does not necessarily, or does not only refer to God himself. God can make things holy. Okay? He can make utensils holy and bowls holy and clothes holy, which he does, okay, through ceremony. And he can make people holy. So in this case, he is making Aaron and his sons holy, setting them apart, okay, for a specific purpose or a specific task. And this is what the office of priest was for. To make Aaron's descendants holy so they could speak and offer sacrifice for the people to God. Now, in order to do this, there was a number of ceremonies, number of sacrifices that had to be made. Okay? So if you look at chapter 8, okay, we see in verse 10, Moses took anointing oil and oiled the tabernacle and all that was in it. 14, there was a bull for a sin offering. 16, there was a ram of a burnt offering. 22, there was another ram, this ram for the ordination. Okay. Then there was a wave offering, okay, offered. All of these series of offerings were for five people, Aaron and his sons. A bull, two rams, and a wave offering of bread. The whole community was there, and they're watching this. Four sacrifices for five people. Does God take this seriously? Yes. He does, very much so. Okay. After he offers this, he takes some of the anointing oil and some of the blood that was on the altar, and he sprinkles it on Aaron and his garments, and on his sons and on their garments. And in verse 30, we read this. So he, Moses, consecrated Aaron and his garments and his sons' garments. Okay. After he does this, God through Moses tells Aaron, you and your sons have to stay in the tabernacle for 7 days. You cannot leave. Actually, if you leave, you will die. Okay. So they'll have these series of offerings, they have a meal, and then they have to wait 7 days in the tabernacle. At the end of 7 days, there are other sacrifices. Okay? But one of the things that's interesting in chapter 8 is part of what is what God does, or what, excuse me, what Moses does. He takes the blood of the ram of ordination, and look at verse 23. And he killed it and took some of the blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Then he presented Aaron's sons, and Moses put some of the blood on their right ears, their right thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet. And he threw the rest against the altar. Until a couple weeks ago, I didn't know that God cared about big toes. But here he does, okay? He kills this ram of ordination, this ram that separates Aaron and his sons. He takes the blood, and just here, on the lobe of the ear, on the right thumb and on the right big toe. Why? Top to bottom. I think that's it. I think what Moses is doing, or most commentators would say, Moses is putting it on that side, so indicating the whole body is covered. Okay. But specifically, the ears, the hands, and the feet. Okay. Why the ears? Okay. To obey God's will, but also to listen well. Okay. I'll shorten it down. I think he put blood on the ear so that Aaron would know to listen well. He's supposed to listen differently. He's supposed to listen to the Lord and obey the Lord. Okay. Just for a thought. When you pray, let's say you pray for 10 minutes. How many of those minutes are spent talking to the Lord? 10, right? How many of those minutes are spent listening to the Lord? But I was taught conversation was a two-way street. If we spend all the time talking to the Lord, we want him to answer, but we don't give him any space to talk. My mother, in her great wisdom, and she annoyed me because she told me this way too often. She said, Danny, God has given you two ears and one mouth for a purpose. You are to listen twice as much as you speak, or you are to speak half as much as you listen. I'm like, yes, Mom. Okay. But is there truth in that? I think there is. Okay. Aaron is supposed to be different. Yes, he makes intercession for the people, but he is to obey the Lord and to listen. Okay? He is to understand God differently. He is to hear from him. Okay? I think that's why Moses anoints his ear. Why does he anoint his right thumb? Because he is to work differently. Okay? He is to be set apart by what he does. He is to offer sacrifices. Okay? That is his role. Okay? New Testament calls it good works. We are set aside to do the works that God has for us. Ephesians 2. Okay? We are to do things differently than everybody else. Okay? Third, why the big toe? Well, he's probably supposed to walk differently. Okay? Walk in obedience to the Lord. Okay? His life is his example of what he believes. And so he is to walk in holiness, to follow the Lord in all that he does. And it's not just those parts that are consecrated, but all of him. Okay? And notice the ram was sprinkled, the blood of the ram was sprinkled on him. It wasn't the wool, it wasn't the fat of the animal. God wanted the life of the sacrificial victim to mark his priests. Leviticus 16, the life of the animal is in its blood. Life had to be given so that life could be saved. Okay? God wanted Aaron and his sons to be marked, stained, if you would, with blood. Because atonement comes through blood. Okay? An ancient commentator, Philo, he says, the fully consecrated must be pure in words and actions and in life. For words are judged by hearing. The hand is a symbol of action and the foot of the pilgrimage of life. You know, when we talk about holiness, oftentimes our minds will go to Psalm 15. It says, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks the truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put his money at interest, does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Okay. Who shall ascend to the Lord's holy hill? Those who do these things. Okay. God doesn't just save us so that we can live however we want to. Okay. He puts boundaries around. He says, this is the right way I want you to live. Think of it like a fence around a pasture. Within that pasture, you're free to go wherever you want to. Okay. But what happens if you go outside the pasture? You get hurt. Barbed wire doesn't feel too well. You get out on the road and there's dangers. Okay? Holiness is living in those boundaries. Okay? Now, third part of the sacrifice. After those 7 days, Aaron took a male calf and killed it. He put the blood and put it on the horns of the altar, burned the fat. Aaron then took another ram, killed it, and burned it to the Lord. Okay. Notice this. Chapter 9, verses 22 and 24. After all this has been done, after all these sacrifices to cover Aaron's sin, okay, the time of consecration, after all of that, this is what happens. Then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them, and he came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offerings and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. And when they came out, they blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And fire came out before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. The picture I have is fire coming out from the building, the tabernacle building itself, to the altar and burning up the sacrifice as a symbol of saying that I am pleased with what has been done, okay? That God approved. What I want us to understand today is that God takes holiness very seriously. Okay, last week, I said sin is serious, and the way to atone for sin, or to atone for sin, has to be done in God's way. Well, today, holiness is very important. Okay, God will not lessen his holiness to come to us. He can't. Okay, God is God. What he can do is make a way for us to be holy, to come to him. Okay? And Aaron was that person in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we don't have time, but in Hebrews, we'll look at next week, how it was Jesus who is the great high priest. He didn't go into the building of the tabernacle, he went into heaven. He died for us, and it's his blood that allows us to come to him. Okay? We can't do it on our own. We come through the blood of Christ. That's why Christ is essential. If you take Christ out of the equation, we have nothing. Because God is holy, we are not, and there is no way for us to get to him. At all. And so one of the things we should be thankful for, thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you, for God, for sending your son and for saving so that I could die, so that I can live forever with you. So that I can devote my entire life to you because you changed my heart. That's one of the first things that should be on our lips to praise the Lord for. Okay, be like the old secretary at my first church. Every prayer she started, thank you, Lord, for your salvation. I got really tired of it, but I loved it at the same time. Because she was absolutely right. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Okay? We don't have to go through the blood of goats and calves and rams. Nah, we go through the blood of Christ. But the picture in Leviticus is exactly what God does for us. His blood covers our sins. So, I only got halfway through the sermon. So, I'm going to do the second half next week. Okay? So, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for this picture, which is really what it is, this picture of Aaron getting ordained, and you make him holy, Lord, so that he can intercede for the people. Lord, through Jesus Christ, you make us holy so that we can come to you and so that we can share to others and bring them to you for holiness as well. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand this, that you take holiness seriously. Lord, and help us as we live to grow in our holiness, to be clearer and more clear and clearer in the reflections of you. We give you thanks. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.